Hi, this is Pat Gohn, author of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious, Celebrating the Gift of Catholic Womanhood. Welcome to 10 Bodacious Basics, 10 minutes at a time. This is a short podcast-style tour through the book with excerpts read by yours truly. Listen each day for a new insight or reflection about the blessed dignity, the beautiful gifts, or the bodacious mission of women. Each day on the blog tour, a new question will be posted at the host blog about the day's theme. And comments at the blog become your entry for a chance to win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious. I hope you'll join me in this conversation as the book travels around the blogosphere, now through this Friday, April 26th. Today's audio tour stop is brought to you by Amazing Catechists, created by Lisa Miladnik. This is part 8 of 10 Bodacious Basics, and our topic today is, This is My Body, Jesus' Prayer and Ours. And our theme comes from Chapter 8. We read this line in Luke's Gospel. These are the words of Jesus. This is my body, which is given for you. These words of Jesus captured the heart of his mission. His life on earth would be given in sacrifice on the cross for the sake of our redemption from the sins that separated us from God. For Catholics, these precious words also capture the institution of the Eucharist, the great sacrifice and sacrament considered to be the source and summit of our faith. In these holy words, uttered in prayer by a priest at Mass, we cannot escape the bodiliness of God, the truly superlative way that Jesus continues to be present in the world today, that his flesh and blood would be miraculously concealed under the auspices of consecrated bread and wine that we consume in the Eucharist. This is my body, which is given for you. These words reveal the significant value and sacredness of our own bodies. And if you'll forgive the informality, the bod that God created for us is bodacious. Everything God does, he does for a reason. Our bodies have as much meaning in the eyes of God as our souls, to which they are remarkably joined. Dictionaries list meanings for the word bodacious as most excellent or remarkable, or audacious in a way that is considered admirable. Some consider the word bodacious a portmanteau, a word that is a linguistic blend of two meanings, such as bold and audacious. How bold that our God would come to earth as a human person in a body, and how audacious that our bodies might somehow image the divine God who made us and one day be glorified in heaven. Our Creator creates the body. Our baptism consecrates the body. Through baptism, the body is baptized and anointed as the soul is marked with the sign of faith. A woman's body is part of the body of Christ. So too is a man's body. We are grafted in our entirety into the body of Christ. Just as the body of Jesus exemplified his mission as the Christ, so too the mission of the Christian is lived out in and through the body. We do all things. We carry out our mission in our bodies and through our bodies. Indeed, our bodies belong to the body of Christ. Catholic churches have depictions of the body of Christ on the crucifix, Jesus' broken body hanging on the cross. We are confronted with the bodiliness of God. In his sufferings and broken body, we can see our own wounds of body and soul. Through our sin and ignorance, we defile the body, revile the body, ignore the body, and denigrate the body. Yet in the crucifix, we are also confronted with the godliness of grace. Through Christ's sacrifice, the deepest graces are found in the body of Christ, graces to restore and heal the brokenness we find in ourselves. This is my body, which is given for you. The body of a woman signifies her mission. She is designed to be a mother. Our female bodies point to the bodacious, life-giving mission of women. The mission of the eye is to see, the mission of the tongue is to speak, the mission of the skin is to feel and protect, the mission of the uterus is to house new life, the mission of the breast is to nourish. This is my body, which is given for you. With all due reverence, these could be the words that a mother might say to a child growing in her womb. A pregnancy is a concrete way to lay one's life and body down for another person. Now imagine the reality of the mother of multiples carrying more than one baby. Recall the generosity and beauty of mutual self-giving, self-donating love between spouses. In pregnancy, a woman builds on this self-donating love. She makes a minute-by-minute gift of self to her unborn child. I've mentioned my own pregnancy struggles elsewhere. My third trimesters for my three pregnancies were as unpredictable as my first trimesters and filled with medical testing. I was poked and prodded and checked for blood pressure issues, gestational diabetes, large gestational age issues, and more. These, plus the returning nausea and heartburn that I began each pregnancy with, brought bouts of worry and uncertainty for me. Yet, the Christian is called to rely on God. St. Peter says, "Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Despite my own temperaments bent toward worry, I did something each Sunday that brought me great peace during my pregnancies. I attended Mass and received the Lord in the Eucharist. I lived to hear those words, "This is my body, which is given for you." And I tried to join myself to the words as Christ joined himself to me through that sacrament. As I received the nourishing host and the precious blood at the altar, I imagined the Lord's body and blood pumping through my veins, reaching through the umbilical cord where my unborn baby received nourishment. My heart was consoled that my baby somehow received Christ in some miraculous way that was unknown to me from a scientific or biological standpoint, but in some kind of supernatural way, very much known to Jesus. As I was being touched by and nourished by Christ, so was my child, and with each communion, I made a deeper connection with the baby that was yet to be born. Philosopher Alice von Hildebrand captures the immense privilege women have as they participate in the biological and spiritual processes of maternity. In her book, The Privilege of Being a Woman, she explains the following. The special role granted to women in procreation is highlighted by the fact that as soon as she has conceived, and conception takes place hours after the marital embrace, God creates the soul of a new child in her body. This implies a direct contact between him and the mother-to-be, a contact in which the father plays no role whatever. This contact gives the female body a note of sacredness, for any closeness between God and one of his creatures is stamped by his holy seal. This divine touch is a special female privilege that every pregnant woman should gratefully acknowledge. End quote. While pregnant, a woman has the unique privilege of carrying two souls in her body, hers and her child's. My sense of this was magnified every time I received the Eucharist during pregnancy. Before I ever got to teach my children about Jesus or the faith, God had already visited my womb in creating the souls of my sons and daughter and touched them in their creation and via the Eucharistic miracle. This armed me with confidence that I was never alone in caring for this tiny child in utero. It also indicated my growth as a spiritual mother, as praying for this child was a totally natural thing to do. Spiritual mothering was something I did not have the words for when I was young, though I was slowly intuiting that reality, that physical and spiritual mothering was the way my body and soul were designed. This is Pat Gohn. Thanks for joining me on this stop on the blog tour. Tomorrow we'll visit in the heart of my home. For now, look for details on how you might win a copy of Blessed, Beautiful, and Bodacious right here at Amazing Catechists.